Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Over the past couple weeks, all I hear about is football and football and more football. When I'm at the club and I'm on my bicycle, my stationary bike, I look up to ESPN. And what are they talking about? They're only talking about football. Preseason football, because of the Red Sox and their situation, tenuously holding on by a thread for any kind of wild card hope. Everybody's talking about football. You talking about football?
Well, when you consider what the Red Sox did out at San Diego in terms of lopsided win and the like, there's not much else to talk about.
But, so you want to talk football. About this lopsided win?
No, I don't. I thought the exhibition game
If it
was
were
horrible.
A closer game, would you have talked about it?
I thought the exhibition football game was horrible. You went to it. It was brutal. I don't care. You can be a Patriots fan all you want.
But that's what we have right now.
I understand that.
I mean, and, you know, I was hearing Glenn's show yesterday. He and Fourier and Greg Dickerson filling in admirably. We're talking about how the media is responding to Brian Flores's shaming of Kenny Stills by playing, what, 8 straight Jay-Z songs? I don't know if I could handle 8. I would probably leave the practice field and never come back if I had to hear 3 straight or 4 straight or even 8 straight Jay-Z songs. But, I mean, we're come down to where with the Red Sox, essentially, with, according to ESPN, 4.5 chance of getting into the playoffs, it's pretty much football. And because Brady had not played in the 2 previous preseason games, there was a little anticipation, again, because we don't have much else to talk about right now.
No, he was all right. 8 for 12, 75 yards.
Unequivocally unimpressed.
Usually game 3, you get more of the starters out there, and you get a better chance to see what the team is going to be like. But they didn't play a lot of the starters, and the ones they did play, it was okay. It wasn't anybody's fault. It's just, it is what it is. It's an exhibition game.
Well, the big season, talk of this preseason, and it was reflected a little bit in the conversation between Rodney and his host on the show previous to ours, is they've been talking for a long time, and certainly the coaches, very wary about this war of attrition that is the National Football League, trying to keep these people healthy as much as you can. And they really seriously, that game was, and I was there, and I had to be there only because we gave our son some football tickets to the regular season, the Bills, and the guy that sold the tickets to my wife, co-worker with my wife at Department of Children and Family, said, "Here, I'll sell you these tickets, but please take these preseason games off my hands." So my wife thought this was going to be like, "Oh, Bryson's going to love this. Oh, he's got 2 preseason games." Well, guess who gets stuck with having to go to those 2 preseason games with me?
That ought to tell you something right there, the fact that the guy wants to give them to you.
Well, everybody, nobody at a Patriot preseason game or throughout the NFL actually is a season ticket holder. There are people who are quote-unquote lucky recipients of freebies given by season ticket holders who want nothing to do with watching second and third stringers and guys that were even going to make the team.
It was brutal. I'm telling you. I stayed up for the whole game, but it was brutal.
Well, you know what I did? I'm going to confess. I left at halftime. The highlight was talking to a guy sitting next to me from Australia who came all the way from Melbourne just to see the Patriots play in a preseason game.
And?
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he was on vacation, and he scored, quote-unquote, tickets for this game. Never seen Brady play live, so that was interesting. And when Brady came out on Thursday, you would have thought it was like the Super Bowl. People were, they're just drooling. They just want anything that looks like real football, even though we know, ultimately, it is not. So
biggest thing you hope for in these type of games is to get through them without any injuries. Brandon King, special teams player, went down with a leg injury, and he's out for the year.
That's it, yep.
And for the most part, like the fourth game, it's just who can we find to just stick in there without any major injuries.
Well, lucky me, we have another pair of tickets to next week's fourth preseason game. So it's always against the Giants.
See the Giants, yeah.
It's always against the Giants, but guess what? I'm not going. I said to Bryson, you know what? You can take one of your friends. I'm sure they would love to go to a Patriot game, so we're going to drop them off. He is 14. We're going to trust him. He's 14 years old.
He's a good kid.
Yes, and he will watch the game to his heart's content, and I will be back home maybe watching that game, but probably not because the fourth game is such a waste.
And you'll pick him up after the game?
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, it is. You were watching it at home.
Oh.
I was watching it there. I ducked out at halftime. It is an exercise in boredom. Certainly a cure for insomnia.
And the fact that the owners insist on this three-game or four-game schedule where they charge season ticket holders full price, concessions, etc., and it's just extra money for them to throw in their pockets, and that's why they have it.
Yeah, actually, it isn't full price. I know this for the first time only because I had the tickets in my hand. The tickets that we got for the Bills were $135 each, section 104, in the north end zone, in the right corner of the end zone. Pretty good seats, about 11 rows up from the field. So you get a good close-up view of the players. But the preseason ticket is only $68. So that's not so bad. But let's face it, do these owners really need to make more money? Because the players don't get paid in the preseason. It is pure
and utter profit.
They
make money off the concessions, too.
And of course. So they're making all the money off the concessions. They're not paying the players, and more money goes into the owner's pot, and the product, obviously, is pretty terrible. Meh at best, terrible most of the time. And I guess if you want to glean anything from Thursday night's contest, Brady, in that third series of downs, did lead the team up the field, as you were mentioning, 85 yards, 4 for 5. They went perfect pass and great catch by Ryan Izzo over the middle.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, 18-yard pass that set up the touchdown. So let's face it. If there's one team on the planet that does not need to play in any preseason games, and there's any player on the planet who doesn't need to play in any preseason games, it's the Patriots and Tom Brady. I mean, they've proven it. We know that Belichick essentially treats the first 4 or 5 games of the regular season as the preseason. That's where the players lose the rust and work out the kinks and get prepared for what really matters, which is November, December, and January. So these preseason games, as you say, totally, utterly irrelevant. And I wonder if eventually the National Football League owners will come to their senses and say, you know what, let's just play 1 or 2 games. Not continue to exploit poor season ticket holders and get real here.
It's all about the money. Why can't you understand that?
I certainly understand it. And if there's any league that understands how to make money, it's the National Football League. But I can't imagine buying season tickets, say, to the Red Sox or the Celtics or the Bruins, and the Bruins and the Celtics and the Red Sox insisting that any season ticket holder must go to the preseason games. Now, maybe I'm in the dark about this. Maybe I'm ignorant. I doubt they have that proviso for season ticket holders of the other teams. Maybe someone can educate me on that. I don't know. So that's an issue. But you know what? They almost filled up the stadium on Thursday night, and the Patriots certainly look good on defense, playing against Cam Newton. Cam Newton got hurt, twisted his ankle a little bit. He's going to be out perhaps for the rest of the preseason. We don't know what's going to happen for him in the regular season.
He got banged up bad last year. So yeah. He's getting to a point where his years are counted.
Right.
Now, how long is this guy going to last?
Right.
I'll tell you one thing. I think this year, to Belichick's credit and company, this is probably one of the better draft classes they've had as far back as I can remember. They've got about 4 or 5 guys who are going to make this team. Going to make this Super Bowl team.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Well, not really. I mean, they've had pass where they only have one guy.
One guy who's a contributor, but does make the team.
No, no. But you look at the Stidham, the backup quarterback, Jojon Williams, the big cornerback. That's a nice weapon to have. 6'3", 208. Winovich is a big linebacker with speed from the outside. I'm just telling you, they've got, and the punter, Jake Bailey, beat out Allen.
Well, it's funny because we were, I've had a total Patriots summer in 2019 because of my son's passion for football. And would you mind turning off your phone, please? Two things you can work on, the hiccups and turning off your phone, then we can get on with the show, please. Thank you, sir.
You want me to shut Brady's father off?
Brady's father's on the phone?
Yeah.
Us casting aspersions on his 42-year-old son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brady was good. It was okay. The other thing, ironic thing that's kind of funny is they got Demaryius Thomas, N'Keal Harry. They've got about three or four wide receivers who are supposed to make the team on top of what they have on the field now.
So you think that
I don't know what they're going to do. They got too many players. They can play.
There seems to be a division, different schools of thought about that wide receiving core. I mean, I've been hearing that, you know, people are very much down on the wide receiving core, saying that Belichick really dropped the ball, as it were, as far as that position is concerned. Other people say, well, on paper you have some players that could really make a major contribution. But is Thomas in his third team in three or four years beyond his prime, is he going to be a Patriot receiver that you can count on, or one of those many litany of wide receivers who come from other teams that just cannot make it in this system? Is Josh Gordon going to be reliable? Is he going to have a relapse?
If he's anything like he was last year, he certainly can contribute.
But you can't trust him.
I understand
that. You know, Harry has been...
Neither can you trust an injury.
Right. And Harry, speaking of injury, he's been dinged up all preseason long.
That's cautionary because what happens with receivers, particularly the hamstrings, if you don't treat those things right, they will haunt you all year. So they're really trying to handle him with kid gloves because you don't want him dinged up. From what we've seen, though, he certainly is not wrong with his hands.
No, he's a big kid and definitely has great hands. The question is, can he stay on the field? And I don't know what his relationship with Brady has been. Are they simpatico? Are they working well together? I know one player who is not is this free agent rookie, Jacoby Myers.
He's great with Stidham. He's great.
Yeah, terrific with Stidham because he gets a lot of reps with Stidham in practice. But it was painfully obvious that first pass that Brady threw downfield.
A little bit behind him.
Not that one. That was the flat. That was the one, the down and out, the quick route. I'm talking about the long pass down the center of the field. He stopped. And apparently Brady was none too pleased with, I love the guy's name. Sounds like a law firm. It is a law firm, Jacoby Myers. That will maybe improve, or maybe, again, Jacoby Myers, yet another one of those wide receivers who ends up on the discard heap, unable to make the connection.
He had nine catches for 74 yards.
Yeah, he had a very productive game as long as Brady wasn't the quarterback.
Well, there's a problem there.
Right.
Brady's going to be the quarterback. The other guy, Michelle, ran the ball very well, had 10 carries for 36 yards. I mean, we're going through all this stuff that nobody cares about. It's an exhibition game. I feel bad for you that you had to sit there. That was brutal.
Well,
gosh.
Life could be much worse than getting a free ticket to a game 10 miles from my house.
You could have sat there the whole game.
I could have been there the whole game, right. And
the story for me when you talk about the National Football League is all these side stories that are a royal pain in the behind, and I don't understand the reaction to him. I think Antonio Brown continuously appealing about this helmet thing. I've had enough of that. I watched
You've seen Hard Knocks?
It's just he's a pain in the butt.
Pain in the what, Larry?
Aspirin.
Oh, okay.
He really is. He is, give me a break. And Gruden, his reaction is, well, I support him, and, you know, they're working out. By now, man, hey, it's time to play football. this appealing, some stupid helmet. First it was the feet, then it was the helmet. I mean, he has been nothing but a pain, an enormous talent, but a royal pain in the behind.
You think?
Yeah, really. great talent, and I'm sure he'll be, when Kyle lights him up and throws him down the field, he'll be, people will forget about all this stuff now, but what a pain in the behind.
I have yet to check out. I watched all of the Cleveland Browns last year. I saw the Jets a few years ago with Rex. That was probably the best of the Hard Knock shows.
It was.
I have not seen. I'm not a big fan of Gruden, so I've been a little reluctant to tune in this year.
It's funny. You tend to like him a little bit more when you watch this. A little more personable. He really is. It's. I mean, he's not my favorite, but he... I was surprised how appealing he was. He was not that bad at all.
All right, I'll probably check it out again because we have the sort of this gaping hole in our August sports calendar with the Red Sox. Essentially, again, they're not completely out of it. I have this discussion with some of the callers. They think some of the Yankee callers think the Red Sox are pretty much dead. They're what's,
well, losing Sale to the end of the season is certainly no flag of hope people are waving.
Right.
That and is a major blow.
But they've been beating up on bad teams. They've been playing a lot of bad teams, including last night. They've won six out of their last eight, but they pretty much have remained 6.5, 7 games behind. Oakland and Tampa continue to play good baseball. Cleveland's in there as well. It would take not necessarily a miracle, but things would have to fall into place perfectly over the last 32 games for them to win.
My interest level in these Red Sox games, it's just going down, down, down. I mean, I'm looking forward to the U.S. Open. I mean, the Red Sox right now, just give me a break.
Serena versus Maria.
Yeah.
In round one.
Why not?
Two bitter rivals.
Are they going to wrestle?
That would be fantastic.
Would
a little
be.
Mud wrestling?
That'd be better than the game itself.
Well, it should not be much of a contest because as much as I was a Sharapova fan for years, but she has not been at the top of her game, to say the least.
Hey, just stand there.
So, for both sides, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of black and white, did you check out those uniforms last night the Red Sox and Pods were wearing?
I don't know what they did.
It's Players Weekend, Larry.
Yeah.
And the players
the weekend off?
Are wearing monochromatic jerseys, black and white, kind of reflection of the Mustard and Johnson show. Because those uniforms, Larry, according to the site I looked up, reflect the players' fashion styles off the field. I didn't know that monochromatic outfits were the rage.
They walk around in their pajamas when they're not playing a game.
Right, and you notice they had little nicknames again for the third straight year over Players Weekend.
Benny, JBJ, Mookie.
El Gualo. Eduardo Rodriguez had a terrific game last night, maybe his best of the year. Seven innings of shutout baseball. And Flacco, J.D. Martinez, 2 3-run home runs, 7 RBIs. So it certainly worked for the Red Sox last night. But again,
certainly a game worth staying up for.
Right. But again, even though they've won 6 out of 8, they're beating up on bad teams like Baltimore and KC. How about that? Did you check out that KC game on Thursday?
Oh, yeah.
The 12-minute game?
Yeah.
So they're beating up on bad teams. They're playing a lot of under 500 teams on this West Coast swing. They can continue to play well and maybe hope for some sort of collapse to occur for either Tampa.
A lot of people love the
Oakland.
The quick game. Bring the kids out, let them run around and stuff. I think if they could have got 1 or 2 innings in, it would have been even better. But
yeah, how do you go to a 12-minute game? I know it was a makeup.
You don't.
No. So it was a festive mood over at Fenway. Festive mood Thursday night as well.
The other thing that's bothering me a lot is this Patrick Chung story. I don't quite understand it. I don't know if he found a little cocaine on him or what, but he claims a guy who's a carpenter or something working on his house up in New Hampshire. It's his, and they found some at the house itself. Let me be candid. I don't know how stupid these people can be. You're making an unbelievable amount of money. And to just get caught in some of these situations is just beyond my wildest comprehension. I just don't get it.
Now, do you buy this? Oh, it was my friend who left the coke in the glove compartment. Oh, it was the carpenter who was working on my home. Now, seriously, what carpenter or any visitor
like
to Patrick Chung's house would leave cocaine at the residence.
If he's doing cocaine and he's the carpenter,
I would change carpenters.
Yeah, I'd like to see the kind of how does that window looks a little funny. But I think, and then this other thing in Miami with the coach playing the Jay-Z.
That would be Brian Flores, former defensive coordinator by at least not officially, but longtime Belichick assistant.
But I wonder with an industry where so much money can be made, all you got to do is go out and play for 5 years, and then you can retire for life. And I don't understand how stupid these people are. And I think that's the one area I wish the NFL would crack down on with any of them. I really do. If you get caught in a situation and there's enough evidence there, you sit out for a year.
All right, you're Roger Goodell.
Yep.
Patrick Chung, who has won several Super Bowls, most recently last year with the Patriots, has had a couple of runs. We even interviewed him a few years ago, if you may remember that, when he was a member of the Eagles. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Wasn't one of our most scintillating interviews.
No, I remember when Rodney talked to him when he was up here for the Hall of Fame.
And he was, he wasn't there on Thursday, but he has been, fully participant in all the practices and games and everything else. Maybe not the games, but he certainly played in all the practices and scrimmages and stuff like that.
I don't know about you, but maybe it's just me, but I'm running out of patience with a lot of this stuff.
All right, so you're Goodell.
I want to sit down. I want to watch the game, enjoy the game and all these wonderful skills and all the sports.
Right.
And I'm running out of patience.
All right, so Goodell last week gave the Patriots a nice little present by not being his usual punitive self with Josh Gordon.
Right.
Josh Gordon, has been, suspended four times, once for 2 years. We know he had a relapse. Patriots recovered nicely, never lost the game after that. Patrick Chung is part of an excellent secondary, and I think that defense, which was suspect, shall we say, at the beginning of last year, just got better and better and had their best game, obviously, in the Super Bowl, where they held the Rams to what? Just a field goal. This defense is, in a lot of ways, I think, essential to the Patriots going back to the Super Bowl.
Because
Brady is not going to be the Tom Brady of 4 or 5 years ago. I think we're going to see the Tom Brady, the, quote, game manager Brady that we saw at the beginning of his career. And if you think about those first three Super Bowls that Brady won in his 4 years as a starter, those had a lot to do with great defense. And this defense, I'm not saying it's in that category. They're not Hall of Famers on this team. But Patrick Chung is part of an excellent defense that I think is crucial to the Patriots' success this year. But if you're Goodell, you just reinstated Gordon. Do you wait for the legal process to play itself out? What do you do with Chung?
Well, innocent until proven guilty. So, I mean, you just can't punish the guy and the like before they at least find out if there's anything there. Maybe it was the carpenters. I have no idea. It sounds ridiculous
to me,
though. It really does.
That's like the Dominican Republicans saying, you know what, after a lot of investigation, we're just going to say it's mistaken identity. Just mistaken identity. We're just going to move on .org. So I don't know.
Believe me, and this pains me to say this, but as much as I love Gordon coming back and playing, he'd have to sit out a year or two. That's how fed up I am with this whole thing. I really am.
Well, he has sat out a year or two. Literally, he sat out two straight seasons.
Yeah. Well, how much more do you have to do to learn?
So last week you were pleased with the reinstatement of Gordon.
If it's an addiction, and I thought Mark and Hart had a really good show last week about this whole thing with people calling and sharing their stories and the like. If I'm Gordon, and I come back, and I find after a couple of weeks, man, I'm starting to get an itch. I'm starting to struggle or something. Wouldn't you go to Belichick or somebody and say, I'm starting to have problems, man.
No, because I think, as you probably know, not that you're an addict, but I'm sure you've been around people who've had trouble.
I have.
With drug addiction or any other addiction. And when you have an addiction, the last thing you do is disclose it to anybody. It's that dirty little secret.
If it's starting to raise its ugly head again. You got signs that, man, I'm having, it's a bad night. I got through it okay, but this was a bad night. Don't you try, I just try to get some help?
Because once again, you're injecting a rational thought process into something that is totally irrational and emotional.
So what do you do about it then, if you're the NFL?
Well,
any of the major leagues.
Well, apparently, the NFL is convinced that, and I'm not convinced, I don't think Patriot fans are, that somehow or another, this time, Josh Gordon has exorcised his demons.
I'm healed.
No, so the upshot of that show, which I did not hear much of, I apologize to those two guys who were excellent together. The upshot is we heard from a variety of different people, callers, who shared their own stories about addiction. And did they think it was a wise move for the NFL to reinstate Gordon or not?
Is it something that you can shut off with help? Is it something that you can get to before it really gets out of hand again?
Well, it's been out of hand for a long time.
But wouldn't you say the starting point would be, let's say, marijuana? And then you go downhill from there?
I don't believe that marijuana, and that's why it's been legalized in many states, is a, quote, gateway drug.
Well, it's got to be something.
Right. But, listen, you know, Josh Gordon is doing a hell of a lot more
I'm saying you don't just jump into the frying pan with cocaine. It has to start with something
that's
less
not
than that.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, for you, if you decide you're having a bad day and you just decide to take a walk around the block, and somebody's not going to just say, hey, listen, try this stuff. This is cocaine. It'll, you know. Or is it more marijuana? Isn't that more something that you could say to yourself, well, it's not that bad. You know, they legalized it.
So you think that it's kind of like this gradual descent.
Decline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine it just being you're out and you're bumping to somebody as you're walking back to your car, and they said, hey, listen, try this stuff. You look like you're a little down. You know, try this and just, you know, see if it helps any. If it does, come back and see me.
Well, we are a drug-addicted society, whether it's legal, marijuana, or alcohol, or illegal, cocaine, opioids, which are legal but certainly have become lethal, legal but lethal. And we are a society that deals with our issues in a druggy way.
But in Goodell's case with Gordon, it seems like he lightened up a bit.
Well, he probably, either the Patriots or Gordon or both, or somehow or another, the people who are involved in that department in the National Football League are convinced somehow or another that Gordon is on the way back and that he has a constructive program that will keep him on the field. That will prevent a relapse.
I mean, I hope so. I root for all of these people.
I'm very suspicious of it.
But there are privileges that you lose or should lose in a society if something like this
all right. So So as angry as you are about Chung getting arrested, and it's a head-scratcher. There's
Let me preface it. I'm angry as a sports fan.
Right.
As a minister, I have to show mercy.
Right.
But
and
as
it
a
is
sports a, fan. I'm
right.
angry.
And you know what? I believe all drugs should be handled in a clinical way, not in a legal way. I don't think because you possess drugs, you should be arrested. You should be jailed.
So what do you do with Chung? Let's say they find out that
put him in rehab.
Does he play?
Of course not. I mean, Gordon was suspended. I mean, you put him in rehab. And again,
how often?
I don't know. But we talk about this all the time, and last week we had the same discussion about Gordon. It's difficult for Patriot fans to take off your Patriot glasses and look at this thing in a purely objective way. We all want, as Patriot fans, for Patrick Chung to be on the field. We all want Josh Gordon to be a wide-receiving asset for the Patriots. They're commodities. We ultimately don't care about the individuals. I know you care because you have reached out in your community and work with these kind of people. But as a Patriot fan, they're commodities.
It's a whole different
thing.
I admit it.
Right. You want Gordon to be on the field because that serves you.
It serves my
okay?
team.
Same for Patrick Chung.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. 617-779-7937. Another Patriot drug issue. Last week, Gordon reinstated. This week, Patrick Chung arrested for cocaine possession.
Now, every case is different. And right. I agree with Gordon's case. If he was exposed to this stuff as a child and had to work his way along the road by himself for the most part and the like, I have a little more mercy for him. I really do. I mean, as a child growing up and new stuff gets introduced to you, and I mean, what the heck do you do about it?
Right. We're going to talk all about that. Take your calls on the matter as well. It's Mustard and Johnson till 11 right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Boston's sports station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And here's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Red Sox shut out the Padres 11-0 last night out in San Diego. Eduardo Rodriguez got his 15th win of the season, going 7 strong innings, 6 strikeouts, just 5 hits. J.D. Martinez had 2 3-run home runs. He's got 30 on the year at 7 RBIs last night. They're back in action tonight. Nathan Eovaldi looking to bounce back on the mound for the Red Sox. First pitch at 8:40. Pre-game at 7:40 with Will Fleming starts right here at WEEI. Josh Lewin and Joe Castig will be on the call on the Shaws and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. And 12 days to go before we kick off the 2019 NFL season on September 5th. But before then, the Patriots have their final pregame season, preseason game against the Giants on Thursday. And if they win, they'll finish the season at 4-0. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. (laughs) 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mustard and Johnson with you, as we usually are, between 9 and 11 on this glorious Saturday, as I said earlier. A little feel of fall, a little Christmas in the year. Not Christmas, but crispness.
Yeah, I hate winter, so.
I love when summer starts to turn to fall. Our thoughts are about football.
Well, what do you care? You stay in the bed in the mornings now. You don't have to work.
Well, I used to get up very early to do my run before school. Now I don't even run because I've had this bad leg, and you know I don't go to school anymore. So I sleep all the way until, what, 7:45 or
Your
so.
Your wife must love that when she's...
Oh, yeah, sure. So we're talking a little football. Larry, thoroughly unimpressed and, quite frankly, bored by the Patriots' big win over Carolina in game number 3, which used to be the most important game. I don't know if any of these games are.
What's next Thursday's game going to look like?
Well, it's always an exercise in watching guys who are on the bubble, see if they can make the team. You won't see any starters.
Hoyer didn't play last week, which surprised me. Would you let Brady play?
No. Brady never plays in game 4.
He usually plays more than one quarter.
Not in game 4.
No, in regular exhibition games.
Larry, he's 42 years old. He's the greatest quarterback in history. The team is the greatest franchise in the sports history. There's no reason for any of them to worry about playing. Brian Hoyer might get some looks. I think the big surprise was on Thursday, if you really want to break it down, was that Stidham got as much time as he did.
Hoyer play. You missed it, but I tell you, you look like a different quarterback out there. I would carry 3 quarterbacks. I really would.
Well, I think...
Got a 42-year-old starter.
Right. And you would be a little uneasy having Stidham carry the team or try to carry the team should Brady, God forbid, go down.
Right.
Hoyer certainly would be ready to...
You have to forget about anything you've ever thought about him. If the game he played in, he was fantastic. He really was.
But we have seen Brian Hoyer as a starter elsewhere, and he's been pretty much unimpressive. Not exactly. I would think he's had a shot, played with Houston, played with some other teams, had starting assignments, and he's... I just don't believe the Patriots could get very far and maybe not even win the division if Brian Hoyer were your starting quarterback. On the other hand, if you're a Patriot fan, I think this is why preseason has some value. I think that if you're a fan down there watching that game, you get a little taste of Brady, But do you really care about seeing Brian Hoyer?
No, you don't.
But you want to see the rookie quarterback.
Right. But if you're building a team, and let's say something happened to Brady and you had to go to a second quarterback, would you want to go to Stidham or would you rather put Hoyer in?
No, but when you're at a preseason game, do you want to see the rookie quarterback or some journeyman?
I want to see the rookie. I'm telling you, Hoyer, he's only one game. That's all I can go by. But he was terrific.
I'm not basing anything on preseason.
You were there.
The guy has started 37 regular season games. We know who Brian Hoyer is. And when asked after the game, Belichick, the guy that you worship more than any other terrestrial being, pretty much said, I know what Brian Hoyer can do. There was no reason for him to start. And a lot of people were kind of wondering, maybe Stidham is the Brady of 2000 is going to take over that backup spot.
All I'm telling you is he was a different quarterback in the game he played in the exhibition season.
Right, and I'm not going to take any stock at all for a veteran quarterback playing in the preseason. I think it's a little bit different when you're trying to assess a rookie. Let's get to the phone, 617-779-7937. Jim, you are first with Mustard and Johnson.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, LJ, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right, you?
I'm doing good. Hey, did you watch that halftime show during
Actually, I didn't. I didn't. Tell me about it.
Okay, they got Kraft taking all these people over to Israel.
Oh, yes, I watched that.
Yeah,
I did see that.
Nice, huh?
I wish he'd take me. I gave him a couple of nice paintings and stuff. I wish he'd call me on the phone and take me on one of these trips. I'd love to go.
Well, I'll tell you something. It made me physically ill to watch a man engaged in deviant behavior, okay? And I don't cast aspersions on people, buddy. But I'll tell you something. That was sickening over there. He's going in the place, Christ at his hands. They're baptizing people in the river.
But that's
But
that's even more reason to go.
LJ, that guy, what happened to me, I would dry up and fly away, okay? I would hand the keys over to my son and I'd go away in disgrace. I wouldn't show my face. He should be so ashamed of himself. And then to go do that, it was a disgrace.
Would you seek forgiveness?
All right, that's, I guess, enough for Jim. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that.
Why are you guys so
afraid? I didn't cut him off.
Why are you guys so afraid of dialogue?
I'm not at all. The guy, he hung up. We didn't cut him off.
Jim, the wrestling goon.
I believe that was who it was.
Good friend.
But I did think about that. I watched Bob on the field before the game. And, certainly with Patriot fans, it seemed all was forgiven. I don't think there was any real thoughts about Orchids of Asia with fans who were surrounding him, asking for autographs. He's, one of the great guys, loves to meet the fandom. And I think that the fans have moved on. Probably Bob Kraft has moved on. And seems like the NFL has, too.
Now, okay, I'm not comparing the two. But if O.J. could still play, do you think the Bills fans would welcome him back?
If O.J. could still play, no. He's a murderer, Larry. I don't care if he was exonerated in court. We all know he did it.
Were you there?
Larry, seriously.
No, I know. The DNA is
99.9%.
I'm asked you a different question. I said, would you think the fans would take him back?
No, that's an extreme case. Why don't we make it closer to home? If Aaron Hernandez survived and actually somehow or another was not convicted of murder, would the Patriots, A, take him back, or B, the fans accept him? No, it wouldn't happen. But this is a minor offense, obviously. We're not going to compare what Bob Kraft did in Florida to murder.
I'm not comparing his thing. That would be ridiculous.
Right. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. John in Bedford is next on Sports Radio. Hey, John.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Very well. So I'm an alcoholic, and I'm in my mid-40s, okay? And I crossed the threshold of alcoholism in my mid-30s, right? So I realized I was an alcoholic mid-30s 10 years ago. I've been in and out of AA for about 10 years. Just went to a meeting this morning at 7 a.m. And one of the things that you guys brought up about Josh Gordon was, why didn't he go to Bill Belichick? And it's funny because the last time I was out drinking and I was talking to a lot of my friends that are sober and in AA, they say, why didn't you pick up the phone? And I said, the last thing I'm going to do is pick up the phone and call you and have you talk me out of drinking because I want to drink. So yeah, Josh Gordon,
right.
I mean, wouldn't call Bill Belichick. I don't think that would ever happen. But he probably wouldn't even call a fellow AA member if he really has it in his mind and that compulsion
right.
and obsession.
Right. That's where, you know, and that was my response to Larry, that I used the phrase dirty little secret. The last thing, don't you arrange your life, John, around the addiction and making sure that no one knows you're indulging in that addiction?
Yeah, it's terrible. And when an addict is active, their whole life revolves around, you know, for me, I don't do drugs. I never did. But the next drink, how can I get a drink? I can't drink in public around my friends, my family, because I'm not supposed to. So how do I arrange my life and my situations to make sure I have an escape to get a drink?
How are you doing now?
I'm sober.
Congratulations.
But as you said, it's a struggle. You've been in and out of rehab, and this is not something that can be resolved easily. How suspicious, or how convinced, I should say, look at it from the other side of it, how convinced are you that Josh Gordon has exercised his demons and he can be a productive member of the New England Patriots?
Well, here's the thing. If he has a good amount of time with sobriety, whether it's, you know, a month or 3 months, and he's going to meetings and he's talking to people and he's using the tools that you learn in the programs, then he can keep himself on a straight line. And the good thing is that he has to be productive every day as an athlete. He has to report every day. He has to be accountable. And if you fall off the wagon, it's going to be obvious real quick. And the problem is that no matter how much you have to, I got a family, I got two businesses, I have everything in the world to lose. But hopefully I don't go back and want to drink. But I'm saying, if you're at a point where you've broken down and you really, really want to drink, nothing's going to stop you. Family, friends, football, millions of dollars, businesses, doesn't really matter. You're going to want to drink. So.
Right.
Hopefully he has built up enough foundation of sobriety that he doesn't ever go back to that point. Every day, what he should do is pray to God.
Is it, amen. But is it one thing that sets it off?
That's a question we can ask other people.
I'm just curious. Like you said, he's got two businesses, a family and everything. Right. And
it takes over your life, Larry.
I understand, I'm trying to think.
But thinking is probably not the best way to approach this
You premeditate it, so I'm sure they discuss at meetings. If something happens, do this. I understand what he means. It's that drink is more important than anything else you could imagine.
Including...
And you don't, that was a great answer he had. You don't want anybody to talk you out of it.
Right, and that was my response to you. And you think, again, it's all this rash. I'm going to go confide in somebody. It's the last thing the addict would ever do, even a sponsor or a fellow AA member. Mm. And remember, Josh Gordon is more than just an alcoholic. By all accounts, he has dabbled in a variety of drugs, many of which are illegal. So we're talking about that. Josh Gordon from last week, Patrick Chung, new dimension to this thing, being arrested for cocaine possession up in
his... How do you feel about the Patriots that after game three, I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm going to tell you, I did not expect the defense to be as good as it is. And I darn sure didn't expect somebody's draft.
Is this the same Larry Johnson that was basically rendering all of the preseason irrelevant and boring, and you were indifferent to the whole process, and now you're surprised at how well the Patriots are doing?
No, it's still painful to sit and watch some of these games. Okay. It just is. But Having said all that, you still have to be impressed by how the team is doing.
I think defensively they look very good. I think the offense will come around. I'm still not quite sure about the wide receiving core. But the defense, according to everybody, including this eyewitness who went to training camp and went to the game on Thursday, has been ahead of the offense throughout the summer. 617-779-7937. Mustard and Johnson continues right here on Sports Radio. Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio, WEEI. It will be James and Hart coming your way at 11 o'clock. Another drug discussion. Last week, of course, we were talking about Josh Gordon. That has been revived for this show. And, of course, we're adding the Patrick Chung story in there as well. And I'm still kind of scratching my head over the Chung thing. You know, he doesn't live full-time in Meredith, New Hampshire. It's near Lake Winnipesaukee. There's some very nice homes up there. I've driven through there several times. Mitt Romney has a house there with like six-car garage and all kinds of stuff. Obviously,
sorry they have things that are so rough for him.
Well, you know, Mitt obviously has made a little money over the course of his career. Patrick Chung, maybe not in that category, but due to make $6 million this year. Got a nice little raise from just under three. Doubled his last year's salary. He's been an instrumental part of one of the best secondaries now in the NFL, and you'd like to believe he'd get back on the field. On the other hand, as you say, you get a little angry at these players who seem to have it all yet cannot resist temptation. And I don't know if it's an addiction with Patrick Chung. Probably not. Certainly not on the level of Josh Gordon, but it certainly is an issue, and it is disturbing. 617-779-7937. We go to Kelly in Amherst, who's next on Sports Radio.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, guys. Great show today.
Thanks.
So I just want to weigh in. You know, I've never been to rehab or anything. I'm not like a drug addict. But I do come from a family with some of these issues, and just myself as a lifelong marijuana user. The marijuana as a gateway drug thing is a little bit of a misnomer, because they'll go back and they'll ask people, like, you know, they would ask me, they'd say, when was the first time you smoked pot? I'd say 12. They'd say, when was the first time you did, you know, some other drug? I'd say, you know, 18. They'd say, oh, marijuana came first. But really what it means is you do anything you can get your hands on when you're one of those, you know, kids that want to live the fast life, right? And so when you're young, you can't get your hands on cocaine, heroin, you know, stuff like that. I knew kids that if they could have got that stuff when they were 14, they would have been doing it when they were 14. So I would say the real gateway drug is alcohol, because when you're drunk, you do stuff you would never normally do. That's my take.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting one, and probably a fairly accurate one as well. So I think it's a common misconception that if you smoke pot, therefore you will do cocaine. Or if you do coke, you must have indulged in pot before then. And I don't think it quite works that way.
So in other words, if it's a bottle of alcohol sitting on a bar to drink, or drugs sitting on a bar to drink, it's more the alcohol that would...
I don't know if there's any general rule applied to any of this.
Well, there's got to be something.
I don't know why you need to,
because you want to
have this, like, you want to see this pattern.
You need to find the genesis of how the, I mean, you don't mess with it. I don't, you know, like, how do some people get tripped up with it?
Well,
and some people don't.
It could be genetic. It could be nature. It could be nurture. It could be environment. You don't know. You know, I had friends who were drinking pals of mine back in my youth, who, one particular friend ended up being a heroin addict. I drank with him. I didn't go down that road. He did.
Did you drink heavy?
What does heavy mean?
Well, more than you should drink.
Whatever that means. That's very vague.
No, it's not. For your system, in other words. It's one thing to have a drink or something. It's another thing
to
a drink where you can't control it.
Right. Some people can drink more than others. Some people choose beer. Some people choose hard liquor. Some people go beyond alcohol to drugs that are much more dangerous. Each case is entirely individual.
What's the farthest you've ever gone?
Farthest I've ever gone, I've had marijuana. I've smoked a marijuana cigarette.
It?
Yes, that's as far as I'm telling you the truth.
I know you wouldn't lie about it. You lie about other things.
Other
but
things,
that.
But not that one, right? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jack in Scituate, who's next on Sports Radio.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Chad? How are you?
Pretty good. Interesting show you got this morning. Any of these sports guys, in my opinion, I've been sober for 33 years.
Ooh.
If they are battling anything, I don't care if it's whatever kind of drug, alcohol, could be spending money. Addiction's addiction. It's a driving force that doesn't discriminate. And the thing you have to put down drugs and alcohol, that's treating the symptom. Then they need to look underneath and see what's going on inside a little bit. Takes time to do that. Anybody can do it if they're desperate enough or if they're inspired enough.
How did you stay clean for 33 years?
Short version, I was lucky enough years ago that when I was a kid, I almost killed somebody with my hands, which is totally not my personality at all. And it scared me so much that it got me sober. 6 months later, I heard a kid talk about being sober at 21. And when he was 17, he had a drunk driving accident and killed a 17-year-old girl. Mm. That still keeps me sober today. I could not live with that.
No, and very few people could.
We're proud of you.
Thank you, Jack. 617-779-7937. 1 hour in the books.
Remember that show, Scared Straight, that movie?
Yeah. They took kids to prisons to see, you know. But again, Larry, that's irrational. You know, in the moment, there's a lot of desperation and there's a lot of irrational thought going on when people commit crimes or do drugs or all of that.
See, you got to understand, you approach it like I don't get it or I don't understand it.
You don't.
I understand it.
On an intellectual basis.
No. I'm interested in looking under the hood.
You want to probe deeper than the average person.
No, I do. Right. Yeah, I want to. You care about people. You want to know, how did you end up with this?
Yeah, but again, I don't think we'll ever quite, you and I would never quite understand it like maybe some of these callers who have gone through, have had their struggles.
I agree with you. That's why I'm asking them this morning. This is their show.
Right.
I'm asking them.
And I hope that Patrick Chung is not in Josh Gordon's category. It doesn't look like it is. We don't know the full story. I mean, he could go to prison, which I think is ridiculous for cocaine possession. You know, he should go to rehab if there's a problem. Maybe he should suffer some sort of suspension either by the team or the National Football League. But for him to actually go to jail for drug possession, I think in this day and age, I think we have to rethink the way we deal with drug use. 617-779-7937.
Get on board.
That is the telephone number. We're here till 11. It's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.